The date is now December 18th, 520 BC, a day over 2 months since the last reading. But those 2 months have been a very busy time for Israel, because in those 2 months was the time of planting. After the early rains, which always came in the fall in that land, the soil was softened up and it was full of moisture. And the people planted all of their fields by hand, work that usually took them until early December to finish. So Haggai was speaking to them just after the planting was all done. But he was speaking to them because they were nervous and uncertain. Part of it, of course, was the usual uncertainty, the kinds of questions that we still ask today once all the crops are in the ground. Is this going to be a good year, or is this going to be a bad year? Will the harvest be bountiful, or will the harvest fail? But for people who depended on the harvest just to survive until the next harvest, these were critical questions. Questions which needed answers. And on top of that, remember, the previous years had not been good. God had struck down their crops. God had caused their crops to produce very little. So their concern that December was more than just the usual questions. Rather, their concern was, would this year be good, or are we facing the same bad years as before, despite everything that has happened? Now, keeping that question in mind, Christians, will help us to understand the overall point of this reading. Haggai is not interested in debating the fine points of the law, and he's not interested in simply talking about these things while ignoring their concerns. Rather, Haggai wants them to ask, why is it that the previous years were so bad? Why did your crops fail? And the answer to that question comes from the nature of holiness and the nature of uncleanness. Because Haggai begins by asking them a very simple question. He says in verse 12, if someone carries holy meat in the fold of his garment, and touches with his fold bread or stew or wine or oil or any kind of food, does it become holy? The priest answered and said, no. Now let's make sure that we break that down so that we understand what he's asking here. So basically he says, if someone carries a piece of holy meat, a sacrifice that is about to be offered up to God, something that only the priest could eat and sometimes not even then, it was something totally set apart for the Lord's use. If someone were to carry that meat in the fold of his garment so that he wouldn't have to touch it directly out of respect and out of reverence for the Lord, if he were then to take that meat and deal with it, would the garment itself still be holy? So that if you touch something else with that garment, it would also become holy. To put the question more simply, does holiness spread? Simple answer, no. Holiness does not spread. Touching something holy and then touching something else does not make that other thing holy. That much is clear. Well, what about uncleanness then? Well, he goes on to ask the next question, verse 13. If someone who is unclean by contact with a dead body touches any of these, does it become unclean? The priest answered and said, it does become unclean. So in other words, it's just the opposite. Holiness doesn't spread, but uncleanness does. Touching something unclean and then touching something else makes everything unclean. Touching someone who had touched a dead body, even if you yourself had not touched that body, made you unclean. These things simply spread. Or take as another example from the law, a man who has a discharge. That discharge made him personally unclean. But then we're told in Leviticus 15, every bed on which the one with the discharge lies shall be unclean, and everything on which he sits shall be unclean. And anyone who touches his bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. So lying in the same bed as someone with a discharge made you unclean, even if they weren't there. Sitting in the same chair as them made you unclean. Even though they were no longer there at all, their uncleanness continued to spread, continued to contaminate everything. So you had to take special care to avoid it so that you would not become unclean yourself. Now, Christians, before we say that this all doesn't really matter all that much because we live in the New Testament, before we say that Haggai is just splitting hairs about Old Testament law, so we don't really need to pay attention, we need to see the purpose of this law even in the Old Testament. Because it had nothing to do with being physically clean, like wiping something down with disinfectant when somebody is sick. That's not the point. Rather, the point was to teach us something about what makes us truly unclean, even in the New Testament. Because as Jesus says, it's not what is around you, what is outside of you, that makes you unclean. It is what comes from within that makes you unclean. So in other words, God is teaching us something about the true and the dangerous nature of sin. Sin is just like a disease that spreads by contact, contaminating everything just by touching it. So that it is not right for you to say that your sin only affects you. Sin also affects everything around you. It ruins everything it touches. I mean, think of a sexual sin, for example. One night of infidelity and how it ruins relationships. How it tears husband and wife apart, even if only one was involved. That's how sin spreads. Or how being angry sinfully makes others angry too. It spreads like a wildfire, bringing everyone along with it. Or how one sinful example teaches other people to do the same thing, like a parent influencing their child. Sin corrupts. Sin spreads. Sin contaminates. It grows like a weed in the soil of our hearts. And the longer it is left alone, the worse it becomes. But sin also corrupts our works. It also corrupts our offerings, making everything that we do before God unclean too. And this is exactly why those previous years were so bad for them, Haggai says. Their sin had contaminated everything. By putting the world before God, by putting their own affairs first, even as God's temple lay in ruins, their sin had ruined everything. It made their offerings to the Lord unclean. And so God had sent the bad years upon them because of it. 20 measures of grain became 10. 50 measures of wine became 20. And as he says in verse 17, I struck you and all the products of your toil with blight and with mildew and with hail, yet you did not turn to me, declares the Lord. All of these things had happened to them as a result of their sin. And God had sent these things upon them as a warning, as a call to repentance, calling them to turn away from those sins and to seek to be clean once more before it would be too late. And so it is also with us, Christians. If we wonder why things are falling apart in our lives, if we wonder why everything seems to be going wrong, if we wonder why disaster seems to have struck for no apparent reason, we must first stop and consider our own hearts. We should shine a black light on our soul, so to speak, to see the sin that is lurking within, to see the sin that is contaminating everything that we do, to see the sin that ruins everything it comes in contact with. And when we do that, when we repent and turn back towards God, God has promised forgiveness through Jesus Christ, His Son. And the blood of Jesus Christ, Christians, can wash away even the deepest stain. It can cleanse even the worst contamination. Though our sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as wool. Though they are dyed red like crimson, they shall become like snow. And then cleansed and purified, all of our works and all of our offerings will be clean in God's eyes, pure and acceptable to Him because of Jesus Christ, His Son. And being cleansed in this way, they didn't need to worry about what was to come. They had shown that they had a living faith in God through their work on His temple. Their cleansed hearts had led them to lay stone upon stone for the Lord, which meant that they were no longer contaminated. Their offerings were no longer corrupted, but acceptable in the sight of God. And for that reason, they could be confident that even though the seed was now in the ground, even though the harvest had not yet come, this year would be different. God would indeed bless them, because the sins which had ruined everything had been taken away. And in their place, God had made a promise of every blessing for those who trust in Him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, cleanse our hearts from every sin, so that we may serve You in purity and righteousness, knowing that You will bless us for Jesus' sake. In His name we pray. Amen.